Up, everybody.
What up, yo?
What's going on?
We are missing our fearless leader today because he decided that his child was more important.
He wanted talk to do family
stuff. Yeah. You know?
It's like standing around the punch bowl at the school dance right now.
Is that my story he told you guys?
Yeah, father and daughter dance. That's what he said. No. That's what he's going with.
No, yeah. That's tomorrow. What he told me today is the MBLA.
Michael.
Meeting, the Man Boy Love Association meeting, and he's there
tonight.
Oh, with all the other
makes
man
sense.
Boy lovers.
I thought it was like a retro 90s, like, you know, punk rock band meetup thing or something like that, where they're all gonna go sing their old music and
hang out together. old punk rockers hanging out, with their hips hurting.
We need to get like that music, and we should have played it on the show. That we should have started the show with Adam's music.
Yes,
is what we should have.
Well, many people in the chat, like one, have said that we do need a new intro, and Hausch even said our intro is just way too long. He also said "F that kid," which I agree.
In regards to Adam, no, you know what? It does. Yeah, we do have to change it. It does get you pumped up. Although, podcast guys, it is up to date. Bill worked hard on that. But during the podcast, when we have the intro, it is kind of long.
Yeah. I've been saying that for years. I've been saying it almost as long as the intro is.
Yeah.
I have the same thing. Like, I want to shorten even my intro for my stuff too.
You don't need an intro that long.
There's a reason, though. Like, with YouTube, the reason why we do the intros is because it takes so long for people to come in. Yeah. And so if you start the show right away, what I notice is about 2 minutes later, bunch of people will be in there, and then they'll be asking the questions that you just started talking about. So it's like you got to kind of do something to give it time for people.
But
to
our
roll
intro
in
is legit 19 minutes long.
Yeah,
we could probably shorten that a smidge.
Maybe it will be the new two.
The new one. We have to get a new one
for the new series, right, Bill?
Yes. For the 200th episode, I'm throwing this out there right now. Adam is gonna get a new intro made by the 200th episode. We're gonna premiere it. Our 200th episode, the Big Bang. You know what I'm saying, y'all?
I agree.
Hey, what is Bigfoot and Joe have in common?
I don't know.
They're both blurry.
That's about right. They both have potato cans. So yeah. House is saying that the last NoFX tour is coming through. I'm sort of thinking he's too old. Speaking of punks hanging out. I don't know if you're ever too old for a NoFX concert, because there's always been older people at NoFX concerts.
Fat Mike is like, what, 50, 60 years old?
I don't know. You know, it's got to be hard to be Fat Mike. Sorry, we're going to go off an overtime subject right now, because it's got to be hard to be Fat Mike, because like they genuinely have been that one punk band that said F you to the major labels the entire time. And that's why they created their own label and stuff. And because of that, they don't make the billions of dollars like bands like Blink-182 and different things, because they never wanted to air quotes sell out. But, you know, I don't know. It's got to be interesting. Like, I wonder how much money he thinks now. Like, does he regret not selling out and playing the poppy music and stuff?
Probably not.
Thanks, Doc Comfort. Thanks. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
You know, I don't really know much about NoFX, actually.
No? Oh, man. NoFX was huge for me in high school, dude. Big time. So
Sublime was, like, for whatever reason, one of my killer. I just love Sublime.
I like two of their songs. That's it, man. Just not that many songs.
And like when I say I like a band, usually, unless it's like Alice in Chains, I'm usually talking about like normal, like the mainstay sort of stuff you'd hear on the radio. None of the deep cuts, but
Alice in Chains, is that the
Lane Staley, the lead singer?
Lane Staley, yeah. He was the second singer, right?
No, he was the first.
Was he the first?
He died.
Well, I know that he died, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first. Now they have a... somebody else I don't even know. Well, Jerry Cantrell is like the lead guitarist, but he was also the singer. Like he was the second singer, I guess, backup singer, like a backup dancer, I suppose.
I don't know. It's funny because now I'm dealing with my teenager, and I'm like, hey, you want to go to this concert? She's like, no.
Like, so, no, Dad, am I 100?
But she's pissed that I didn't get her Blink-182 tickets, because I have Blink-182 tickets for June. And she's like, you should have gotten me tickets. And I'm like, they were too much.
Dude, I went to a Blink concert years and years and years ago, man. It was awesome. I've been to think of it, like I've been to so many awesome concerts, dude.
I've been to more country concerts than I have, too.
I have never been to a country concert, and I'm a pretty big country fan.
Yeah. I've been to Zac Brown Band a good 2 or 3 times, and then I also have tickets for that in October.
I've been like 4 Ozfest. I've seen Static X numerous times. Yeah, I watched Hatebreed in a like underground sort of.
It just sounds like my eyes are gonna bleed if I listen to that.
Dude, Hatebreed is like a metal band, right? And it was my first mosh pit that I've ever been exposed to. And I'm like, what in the F is a mosh pit? And why are you guys doing this? It still makes no sense.
Reefer says, with a compressor running, is there a way to add new oil into the system? You fixed a leak and you notice the oil level is low, probably 1/4 of the sight glass. Well, if your compressor has a sight glass, is it a scroll compressor or a semi-hermetic? If it has a sight glass, more than likely it has an oil port on it. Yeah. So if it has an oil port, there's a couple different ways. You can literally just pump it in with an oil pump.
And I mean,
right, Chris. That's
I just grab an oil pump and pump it in. If there isn't an oil port, you can add it into the suction side.
Why do you have to do it with it running? Can't he just shut it down and then just inject it in the suction service port or any other port?
Not into the suction service port. I wouldn't do that. I would do it with it running slowly. Yeah. What you could do too is you could pull the system into a vacuum and draw oil in through a suction hose or something.
But let's say it's a walk-in cooler, just with the condensers that I'm used to, and you shut it off, like you should be able to just, as long as it's off, you should be able to inject it right in the suction service port, and it'll trickle down in the base of the compressor like it normally does in a
regular running cycle. Yeah, I just would be leery about pumping it in, because is it actually going to go in? Because how far away is the suction service port from the compressor? Is it just going to sit there in the suction line and pool up? I would rather it be running and add it in myself.
Yeah. I suppose that's probably what he's going for.
But if you have a sight glass on there, I bet you anything you have an oil port. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And it takes probably a scroll, I would imagine. Just pumper.
Just pumper and then dumper.
Yeah.
Pump and dump. So
literally.
So what's up, man? We got a lot of great people in here today.
Yeah.
We got Jessica Egan, our moderator. She's back tonight for the whatever that we do here.
See Scott Susie Comfort. Dunn, Scott, HVAC rookie.
What's up, Scott?
I saw Jenry Garcia in here earlier.
Me, Kyle, Avocado Gaming. That sounds familiar.
Jonathan Hughes.
Jesus Fish.
All of us from Everything HVACR.
Nasty Troy. HVAC. Cyborg Sheep and his greasy hair showed up. What's up, Cyborg?
Hey, nice.
Don't forget our little buddy Rain and his little buddy Luke hanging out with their balls out tonight, I'm sure, somewhere.
Yep.
Eating his sour cream and noodles, playing with his little moo-moo.
So, if you guys, I don't know if you guys, I haven't seen you guys being very active in it, but I've been.
Hey, what's up, Jenry?
Reading the posts in some of these groups. Ty's been involved in a lot of different posts and about, you know, people posting articles about, like, there was one where an engineer wrote an interesting article where he said that he doesn't feel like engineers should have to design to clean the air. And what we kind of took from that was it almost seems like, not just that one, but then there's other articles too, where people are really starting to push back on controlling humidity and different things with the actual equipment. And they're trying to push for aftermarket components. It's been interesting.
Why is there a pushback from it? Isn't the job of the system to condition the air?
Well, that's the point that we're trying to make. If stuff's designed right.
Yeah, and then you shouldn't have to get add-ons and like humidifiers and dehumidifiers. And
I think that one of the biggest things that I see, again, from an outsider looking in, right? Because I'm not a home performance guy, right? And I know this applies to commercial too. But
we do got some great home performance guys watching tonight. Dustin Cole, Jenry.
Yeah, Jenry. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal if you just simply design equipment right. Like if you just, but the one of the big things is people don't understand infiltration. They don't understand outside air coming into the building or air leaking out of the building and tightening up the house. Mm-hmm. It starts to make me think that, I mean, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like the industry needs to be kind of be split up. Like, I mean, if we
between
can't
like home performance
stuff,
guys and
yeah. Yeah. I hate to say that, but it almost seems like that because if there's too much going on, because let's be honest, these big box sales companies that are nationwide, there's no way that they're ever going to be tackling this stuff. They just throw crap in there.
No,
you know,
they're not going to be going out and doing the manual S's and the J's and the blower door tests and the home comfort consults, none of that stuff.
I think that a lot of us need to let go of our pride and be willing to say that we don't know how to do something. I think this is my opinion. I feel like there's a lot of contractors out there and I'm probably guilty of this at some point too, that kind of fakes it till you make it thing. But the problem is that sometimes that can go really wrong, you know, and then it can lead to devastating stuff. Luckily where I live, it's dry. So you don't have humidity. So we don't have as much of a mold risk per se.
I would even venture to say too, like this industry seems to be generational, where it's just kind of the information is passed along and along and along. And a lot of guys, I would say they're just taught to, well, you just take a picture of the data tag and you quote a new one. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why are we going to reinvent the wheel? We don't have time. We don't have time for that. They don't work it into that, or they just don't know it's a thing. I mean, honestly, up until, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I really didn't even look at residential systems and the actual idea of comfort consults. And I hate using that, but you know, the whole idea of you know, the whatever you want to call this, residential science-based
building science.
Building science. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, building science stuff. Like, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. I didn't understand
early in my career, but now I, and again, I'm not pretending like I know what I'm doing. I just have the tiniest glimpse in just that tiny glimpse. Like, I'm like, whoa, my head, I'm instantly thinking back to so many jobs. Like, I can remember being taught, like, this is what I was taught. You know, we're changing a package unit on the roof. Let's just go ahead and upsize it. It'll help. You know, so we just upsize a package unit. So we had a
duct size,
7.5 ton. Yeah, put a 10 ton up there.
Low down there.
Don't change anything, you know. No. And not only are we talking about building performance, but you're really starting to get into why these units haven't lasted so long. So, like, you know, there were so many of those things. And again, nothing against, because I learned from my dad, right? Nothing against him, because I learned a lot from him. And that's also how the industry used to run. Everybody used to wing it, right? There wasn't very many people that really knew what was going on. And I've said this a million times, but the equipment was forgiving. So now mm-hmm. with this high efficiency stuff, you can't get away with that anymore, nope. you know? Mm-hmm. And then, so look at how she's saying no one did until they learned it. It's becoming more mainstream. Customers are becoming aware. The customers becoming aware is interesting though. Like, we're not going to name names, but we know someone that just got involved with a very aware customer. And this particular person, it was a pain in the ass because this customer was demanding mm-hmm. that they do things that there was no need for them to do because this particular person knew what they were doing, you know, like,
or they thought they knew what he should be doing in that yeah. situation.
And this particular customer was basically coached to question this guy that we know, you know? And yeah, I don't know. It's Although, just like, interesting.
I think it's, I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword when customers become aware because, I don't know, like they become aware, but they're not always aware of the right things. So they're like just throwing things out like, well, you didn't do this, this, and this. And like, yeah, I don't really need to do that. And you're being honest with them, but they don't realize it because they don't know what they should be aware of. Right. But on the other hand, it's also good that they're being aware. So they're not getting told like, yeah, your four-year-old unit's, you know, heat exchanger's got some, it's got some stress fractures on there, or it's got some hot spots in there. You should probably go ahead and change that out. And you know, I can get a sales guy over here right away. And
yeah, that stuff's disturbing. Dustin Cole says Corbett dropped that question on him, and Corbett Lunsford asked Dustin, how did it make you feel finding out you and your father have been doing this wrong? And then Dustin says, gut punch. I've had many of those, Dustin, like many of those, but you know what? I see it as an opportunity to learn and grow from. So, you know, stuff happened. It worked. The customer was satisfied, you know, whatever. But now we're changing things. And again, mm-hmm. I'm still not perfect. And I think more people need to be open to the fact that they just be vulnerable and let themselves out there. Like, look, I'm going to do my best, you know?
Maybe one day we can follow suit with the medical field and we can just call this HVACR practice.
Yeah. You know? Or have you seen the post? Someone posted something about if this was the medical field, how we would bill out for a repair on an air conditioner. It was pretty funny when you read it.
It wouldn't matter if it's a callback. I mean, it's HVACR practice. Like, hey, we're just, we have ideas of how this stuff works, right?
Hey, that's, we need to advocate for HVACR being a practice.
Yeah. I've tried to call a doctor out as like a callback. I forget what it was. It was something so stupid, but it didn't work. And I was like, yeah, he did this procedure on me. I think it was to remove a skin tag or a mole or something simple, right? I know you guys probably don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And
is this the time that you went in there and you dropped your pants and your
balls? I know.
No, that's the time I went to the bus station. I was trying to get free tickets to California to come see you. And I didn't have any money. It's a whole other story.
Got it. So it wasn't a doctor that you dropped your pants for.
Got the truth. No. Good one, Chris.
Or did he say he was a doctor?
He was wearing a white lab coat.
That's
which turned out to be a straight jacket.
No, it.
So the doctor, like
fucking
he fucking like cut this thing, like he screwed it all up, really, is what he did. He didn't cut it off as a mole or something, didn't cut it off. And I had to go back like 2 and 3 times. And I eventually went to another doctor where he cut it off. Oh, the second time I went back there, he didn't put enough like Novocaine in it. And so I just like, dude, just fuck it. Just cut it off. Like, I'll go home and do it with nail clippers if you don't do it. But anyway, I got the bill for that. And I'm like, why am I getting billed for this? I had to go back 2 and 3 times. And I called the, you know, the office. And they're like, well, we'll have to put that under review for you. And I was thinking, like, I think I even told this to the lady. Like, I do heating and cooling I don't get to say that to people. Like, well, you think it's a callback because I fixed it and charged you much money, it doesn't work. Well, let me put that into review. I'm going to talk to some buddies on the HVAC Overtime Show and see if that does sound like a callback, and I'll get back to you.
Nice.
You know?
We need to. Well, that's what we need to advocate for. HVACR is a practice.
Yeah. I mean, give us some leeway, man.
With that question, okay. Now, I hate regulations. I genuinely do. Okay. But unfortunately, regulations are there because we're dumb. Okay. Let's just be honest, right? The reason why you have to do HERS rating is for how many years we operated as an industry and didn't know what the hell we were doing and just winged it, you know? Mm-hmm. So now we have HERS rating because obviously, you know, we need it. So like, I hate regulations, but do you think that again, going back to it, do you think that the all-in-one companies are hurting the industry? Like, do you think that the companies that do electrical, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, all this different stuff, and say that they're air specialists and everything, like, do you think they're hurting it?
I think it's with anything. I think the ones that just go into it and they don't have the proper training and the guys who are good at each one of those parts of the industry, I think they're giving us a bad name.
Yeah.
But just, you know, that you have HVAC companies that are good and HVAC companies that are bad. You have multi-industry companies, whatever you want to call them, multi-faceted companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And
because I know there is companies out there that do everything that are great. Like, I know some commercial companies that blow my mind with the stuff that they can do.
Yeah.
They're big union companies. And that's going to be something that I want to talk about too. Like, you know, everybody doesn't have to be union or non-union, because just because you're union doesn't mean you're great.
No.
But union,
man, I can tell you. Man.
Bill could tell you
that's another story.
Yeah, but, you know,
when you're older, I'll tell you.
Unions, you know, historically, unions had really good training, but I've heard that some don't even have the greatest training anymore. But I feel like the industry as a whole needs to have, and again, I'm not a fan of regulations as much, but I feel like we need to have licensing across the board. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
Because my state doesn't have any licensing. You have to have a license to be a contractor.
I agree.
And you have to take your EPA cert. That's all you need.
Yeah,
like, now, if you want to be a technician, you don't got to do crap.
Now, how does that, like, so you make a good point there. With Michigan, it's sort of the same. Like, I can just be an HVAC technician. I can go start an LLC and just go work on everybody's furnace and not have a fucking lick of knowledge in my brain. But it's like a different area when I want to become, if I want to do big jobs, commercial jobs, then I have to have a mechanical contractor's license where I'm pulling permits and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I kind of don't understand why there's a disconnect. Like, why do I need to have a mechanical contractor's license to do these bigger jobs and pull permits? And obviously I know there's codes and the public's involved because it's a commercial atmosphere. But why is it not as important when I'm doing a residential job? Why did I just, like, I'm just fucking about Joe in a fucking truck and I'm going to go out and fix stuff.
Yeah. I just think it's weird that some places, and I know I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but I kind of envy Canada and all the BS they have to go through to become a Red Seal technician or like a legit technician, because, you know, like, they actually have to go through proper schooling, you know. And I know there's probably bad contractors in Canada too. There's going to be bad apples everywhere, but sure. But I do think it's stupid that
referring to Danny Noonien.
Canadian law says that Joe has to wear boots that he can walk on nails with.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like,
you know what, though?
That's kind of odd.
The other day, though, I was doing this. I think
don't tell me that you walked on a nail.
Yes!
I haven't walked on a nail in my entire life.
That's just because you're dumb and you have boots that protect your feet. See,
no, this is
in America, we're always thinking we're going to die from everything, so we're hyper aware.
Maybe that's what it is. But listen,
that's a good point.
It's funny because I show my apprentice. I go, look, dude, look. And I had it hanging from my foot. A freaking nail. I was doing that hydronic job. I was showing you guys that picture in the chat.
Dude, it was a thumbtack.
It was a long nail. Like, the framers must have. And I'm like, look. See, this is why we have steel plate.
See, like, and then he's like, this is why we have to wear wooden shoes, Geppetto. Let's get back to work.
Yeah,
but somebody in the chat was
Jesus
saying,
fish. I agree. I don't know if I've ever walked on a nail, like, even close to it.
Yeah.
And Al Anonymous said a good analogy where he says, and I think everything HVAC says something too. Reaper knows. No, it's a chemical sense. Most likely it's react with some other kind. I've seen them react with other, like, gases and stuff as well, right? Like,
okay, I have never seen a CO meter react to things, but I also vaguely remember hearing someone tell me something about that. So,
A good side point that Dustin Cole makes is plumbers are required to be licensed, but
where he's at,
yeah.
Right. They're licensed here. Same amount of hours as refrigeration in my end. Same thing.
Yeah.
Refrigeration, plumbing,
here's
electrical.
I don't know the standards. Yeah, you have to become some level of plumber, master plumber, something like that. You can have to work for a plumber before you can get your
just like
licensing,
us, yeah.
Your certification.
Was it like, I don't know if anybody in Washington State's watching this, but up in like the Seattle area, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago, I was looking into like what it would take to move to Seattle. And I'm like, for real, I would have to legit start over. It's almost like being sponsored to get into the union. I have to work underneath someone for so many years and then I can become a full-fledged technician. So like they have some weird rules there
crazy.
Too.
Wow. So you know what I found out in Michigan, at least, I'm pretty sure this is like this in a bunch of different states, home inspectors, you don't have to have any sort of certification or licensing to be a home inspector. You can go out tomorrow and start charging people to do home inspections. Isn't that nuts?
And, wow. And let's home inspections, like that's a whole side of the industry. Right, I think that again, guys, I really don't like regulations. I honestly don't belong in California. I'm not what you guys think I am, but home performance needs some serious rules because I mean, those guys can really screw some things up.
Yeah. Like,
you know, especially when buying old homes and then someone moves in and the guy says, yeah, everything's fine. And it's
oh yeah. Yeah. Like the best case scenario, if you buy a house based off of what that home inspector who's not licensed doesn't need to be tells you, the best thing you could, I mean, the only thing you could do is try to sue them. But I mean, what are you going to get? I mean,
what are you going to sue a home inspector for?
You know, what are you going to get, like $9 and a can of Red Bull out of the guy?
There's like a, I don't know. It's some video came across my feed and it's a guy that went viral on TikTok for showing his house and he bought a brand new house. I think it's maybe 2 years old or whatever. And the whole front brick facade's falling off. Right. I think it's somewhere in Texas or something like that. Mm. And it was the whole process of what he had to go through because he had a home inspector and a home warranty and all this stuff. And what this guy had to go through to get the builder to come in and fix his house because the home inspector didn't catch it. And, you know, he didn't know until this whole brick facade starts falling off of his house. And then he digs in there and realized nothing was done right. Nothing, dude. Jeez. And it's a brand new home.
You know, honestly, I'm just thinking back, the guys in the chat responding to it.
Yeah, what's
I
up,
still
Randall?
Can't believe plumbers have license.
Yeah, hey, move your mic a little bit closer.
And refrigeration with pressures, electrical, everything, you don't require a license. It just kills me.
Guys, think about CO2.
CO2, yes.
Over the supermarket side, and you don't have
sorry,
to be
licensed. Yeah, sorry,
ammonia,
CO2,
dude, you can kill people CO. With that stuff.
Ammonia, you have to be licensed. They actually have strict regulations.
Do they?
I don't think you have to be. Fine, I could ammonia. Be completely wrong, but I don't think you have to be.
You know what? Let me step back. I don't know that you have to be licensed, but all the people that I know that do ammonia work are highly trained technicians that have gone through all kinds of stuff.
But are they highly trained because the company they're working for requires that before they allow them?
That's a good question. I'm curious what
Weaver,
the chat has to say.
I did get the new house inspected and
license. I still don't know why
there's
they
a few things that we had to take care of, but nothing crazy.
I'm gonna post something in the group soon what plumber did. Always
wait,
fixing
there's
your
a good
shit. Sorry guys,
I want to highlight where's it.
I'm fixing a lot of your guys shit. But anyways, I was saying I want to get back to that know about that CO meter. You know what? There was an interesting because he's in I guess
that
a warehouse.
Me what I was gonna say.
I was in a warehouse once, and something stupid, just like with the exhaust being so close to the fresh air or air changes, could fuck you up, and you could get false readings or whatever.
I had
so be aware of that.
Before I moved out of my old house, I had the water heater replaced, and I got one of these new fancy power draft water heaters, and realize this, but it has some sort of sensor on there, right? And I painted the whole floor with this like epoxy coating, the cement floor, you know, before I moved, I cleaned it all up, did this whole epoxy thing, and it was, I mean, there was a lot of off gassing from this chemical that I laid down.
Sure.
And I didn't realize it, the water heater has a sensor in there that senses flammable fumes.
Oh yes.
And it locked itself out. And because the one day I came home and we had no hot water. I'm like, what the fuck? So I went downstairs and had it's flashing a code, did some research, and the code was something to do with combustible gases sensor or something like Michael House says. Yeah. I didn't even realize it was a thing, but
yeah.
Genius, man.
That's what it's combustible gas in
here. Now let me ask you this, Bill. Where's your water heater at? In your garage or in the house?
It's in the basement.
In the basement. Mm-hmm. And where's it drawing its combustion air from?
The new one, it draws in. It's got a fresh air intake.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
okay.
It's power vented.
Got it. Yeah, I was curious about that, if they actually do that there.
Cool. Lucky.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And home inspectors, like, there's got to be some serious stuff. Because, like, I just, again, you guys all know, right? We're all HVAC technicians. So we have skills that you know, some people don't, right? Mm-hmm. So like I can walk through a house and I can pick apart my house, you know?
Yeah.
I went on my dad's home inspection. He had a home inspector there, and then it was me and my dad. And me and my dad had more issues than the home inspector did. The home inspector was like, yeah, the air conditioning system is fine. And I look at it and I'm like, nope, you need a credit for that. You know, like we're going through all this stuff, and you know, because they just don't even, some of them, I know there's probably got to be some good guys, but think about it like this. You remember when Home Depot first started, they actually hired retired electricians, retired plumbers, and all these different people. And they had people that knew what they were doing, so you could sell, you know, to the homeowners. Well,
and, you know, look at it this way too. A home inspector almost needs to be like a jack of all trades. They have to know a little bit about framing, a little bit about construction and HVAC and like plumbing.
I'm sure. And that's what I'm pointing out. Like
codes too.
Home inspectors need to be guys that have been in the industry for a while. It can't just be some guy that just graduated trade school or didn't even graduate trade school, just says, oh, I'm going to be a home inspector. You know, I'm looking for,
why you should have to pass some sort of certification, or you should have to have some sort of base knowledge. Like you should be required to have some level of base knowledge before you can go out and give your unvalidated opinion to people who are going to base a big decision on this. Like they're going to go into debt for the next 30 years, possibly based on what you tell them about that property.
Right.
Yep. That's bonkers to me.
So I had I've had this restaurant. It's funny. It took this long to figure this out, but this is kind of bizarre. So I've had this restaurant that, back in 2017, they changed their entire control system for their HVAC system, and their seven ACs are now controlled by internet thermostats, a company called Bayweb. And it's like a lower end. Well, originally was the lower end. They were the bottom of the barrel, but now there's a lot of lower end below them. But anyways, they have this internet controlled thermostat system, and it was been a kind of a joke since they installed it, because it was sold by the audio video team that runs the audio video for this restaurant. And it's like, these guys, after they had it installed, I had to call them and be like, you guys need to change a lot of stuff here. Like, this isn't going to work, you know?
But as far as like set points and things,
set points, and here we need to run the fans 24/7, the indoor fans, for building balance reasons. So the AC fans need to be on when the building's occupied. So getting to their heads, I need the air condition, the blower fans to turn on before the ACs go occupied. Like the moment that someone gets in the kitchen and turns on the hoods, I need the blower fans on every AC to turn on, and trying to get that to their heads was just mind numbing. But anyways, so here we are, however many years later. It was installed in 2017, and we have this cold snap with rain and all kinds of, you know, snow and all kinds of crap, right? So we actually are getting a glimpse of what it's like to be cold.
Yep.
And I realized that for all those years, their thermostats have never been set up for auto changeover between heating and cooling. So I'm literally getting a call. My dining room's freezing. Now, step back. I have access to this system on my phone, right? But the restaurant, I haven't told that many people that I actually have access to this. But anyways, I get these calls, and I started getting irritated because they're like, hey, can you adjust my thermostat? Like the few people that know, can you adjust the thermostat? And it'd be like, one day turn the heat on, one day turn the cooling on. And I'm like, I'm not a freaking thermostat. Like, so I had to go into the system today, and I went to the restaurant because I was like, I'm not doing this stuff from home and not getting paid. I'm not logging into my phone because I didn't sell it to them. I'm not doing any of that crap unless they're paying me. So I went to the restaurant and I sat down. I logged into my computer, and I had to basically reprogram their energy management system. I called the manufacturer, and it's been like 18 hours or 15 hours, and they still haven't called me back.
Are you serious?
So, no, never. I talked to a person. I said, this is my problems. I'm on site. I need help. And they haven't called. That was 7 a.m. this morning. So it's been 12 hours almost.
That's pathetic.
Anyways, so I ended up going through, and I found out how to reprogram everything. Nice. And but it's still bizarre that it's just a crazy story to think that we've never run into the problem where auto switchover was a thing until right now, where we're getting this cold snap. And it's just, it's annoying because last night they called me in their dining room. It was cold last night, probably like 43 degrees or something like that. So I know that's not cold for most people, but that's cold for us. And I look at their dining room, it was 43 degrees outside, and their dining room was 85 because it was so packed full of people. And the system basically was set, it was stuck in heat mode, so it wouldn't automatically change over to cooling. So the heater wasn't running, but there was, you know, it's packed with people. So it's just kind of crazy that actually happened now, you know?
Wow.
But Let's see. Chris Hughes says, it never fails that your personal cell will get into the wrong hands. You know, something that I've had to do is I have these call centers that call me, right? Service channel. So the restaurant uses a company to manage their service calls, right? So service channel calls me. They say, we have an emergency work order. The restaurant manager put it in as an emergency, but it's something stupid. Like really stupid. So service channel calls me no matter what time. And it never fails that these restaurants, right? The managers, they're busy all night. So do you know when they put in the work orders? At the end of the night, when the employees have left and they're sitting there doing their paperwork and it's 2 a.m. I get an emergency work order for 8-hour response time that says, we need you here now. And I wake up, right? Because here's what happens. If you don't answer the email within a few minutes, you start getting phone calls from Bob in India. And he's like, you can't even understand the guy. Yeah. He's like, you have an emergency service call at this restaurant. And you're like, that's not an emergency. Get the fuck out of here, you know? Yeah. And then I have to like have these discussions. But that stuff blows my mind. And so I don't even have to give out my personal cell for people to just stupid.
I had my company business cards. I threw them all away and I got new ones because they had my work phone number listed on there. And I'm like, I don't want you to call me. Don't ever call me. That phone number is for my boss. You call my boss, then my boss will call me. You don't need, and it was like for, you know, you get like the maintenance guys from these places and they get your number. And
that's the worst.
Sometimes I'm okay with them having it, but most of the time they just like call you. And I'm like, I mean, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm on another job. Like, hey, man, this broke. I'm like, okay, don't use it. It won't break.
What do they you want you to do? Like this, right?
Yeah. I'm like, fucking call the office, dude. Like,
and then you don't deal with saying, any of those third party. Dispatch because I was just about to say
do now. There's a company, I don't care about them, a company called Vixo, and I hate them, they suck. And like we deal with them, right? And like I was on call this past week, and what they do is we have this large chain, I don't want to see who they are, I guess, but we have this large chain that Vixo manages, and Vixo is this third-party energy management company, right? So these stores put in a service request, it goes to this Vixo, and then they decide who it goes to after that, right? So what happens when I'm on call is we'll have these like work orders that we've already went out to, we've submitted proposals for, maybe we're waiting on parts, I don't know. I'll get these after hours calls from these Vixo people, and they're like, what's an ETA on this, what's an update on this, what's this, this, and this? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, when are you guys coming out to do this? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
And then, oh man, it drives me up the fucking walls to the point where I'm actually downright rude to these people now.
I honestly, it's become a mission of mine to get general managers' phone numbers. So I always try to, even if they're people that I like, parties? I always try to talk to them because I haven't had the opportunity to do it yet. I have two of them so far, like their personal cells. But if I ever get one of those 2 a.m. calls, I'm going to call the general manager and just be like, hey, there's an emergency. Is this really an emergency? You know, like,
or no, just call them and be like, there's an emergency. I need you to go there and open up the restaurant for me.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no, I can wait. Like, exactly. Okay, that's fine.
So, but the whole thing is like those two guys that I got their cell phone numbers finally, they're good ones. So I haven't been getting those stupid calls from those restaurants, but
no, cause they actually
care, you know,
shit.
Cause I'm like, you guys want to get woken up at 2 a.m. to tell me that you want me to come in the morning, you know? And some of these managers too, when I ask them like, why did you put that work order in so late? They say, well, cause I wanted to make sure I was your first call. And I go, guaranteed, you're not going to be my first call now. No, like
that's not how it works. Like you don't do the schedule at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. You know?
Should,
like,
I do something wrong? I think I might've done that.
Oh, so that's funny.
My bad. My
Hausch says that I want to send them some pineapples. So I told the guys today that we're having a rainstorm. I told you guys this morning, we're having this rainstorm in California.
What do you guys call it again?
It's called the Pineapple Express. So.
Like that's legit what they call it in California.
Yeah, it's called the Pineapple Express. It's when the warm rain comes from, I don't know, I'm not going to try to be a freaking meteorologist, but it's when warm rain comes in. And so all that snow that we got, they're worried.
It's what they call perfect swinging weather, where everybody busts out their hammocks and their sex swings and they go outside and it's just lube-filled pools and orgies and middle-aged people. You know, if you've ever been to one of those, you'll soon find out that all the people in there, they're not what you think they're. It's not like a bunch of porn stars, dude. Don't go. Your eyes will just be burned.
That's funny. Nasty. How was your week, Joe?
Was all right. I was just working on this huge job. We're doing a hydronic job and stuff. So just working on that. I sent a picture in the group.
How much does that suck? Like when you've got a bunch of snow?
I don't know. You guys still have snow.
Yeah, actually, we're just getting snowed right now. Cyborg was just mentioning in chat. We're just getting a little bit of snow as we
see. Wait, Cyborg's from Canada too? Why did I not remember that?
Cyborg, there's a couple in here. I don't see any right now. Cyborg is. But anyways. Yep. And I was just going to say, since I was going to read this question, if compressor is running and it didn't just start, I have foam. Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you have access. Power.
I know. So if compressor is running and it didn't just start, we have foam and sight glass. Should I be concerned?
I see. If you have foam in your sight, wait, if a compressor is running, it didn't just start. And you have foam in your sight glass. Should you be concerned?
How long has it been running for?
Right. How long has it been running for?
Exactly. I mean, something's going on there. So
you could still have refrigerant boiling out from it.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
But I mean, it really depends on exactly. I mean, are you just seeing a few bubbles or are you seeing foam? Like if you're seeing foam, yeah, you got something going on there.
Yeah. But for sure. Indeed, be Canadian boys.
You know what I ran into this week? I don't remember if it was this week or last week. Now that I think about it, I think it was this week. I had a what's it? I don't even remember what this thing is called. But at this restaurant that I do service for, where they have the meats, they have a countertop. It's basically like a heated countertop for their expedite station. You know, where they put all the food, throw it in the bag, and like the whole countertop is heated, and it's controlled by a Dixie well or Dixie. No. Dixel, I'm thinking of Eliwell. It's an Eliwell. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
The Eliwells are even worse.
It's an Eliwell 961 controller, right? And it was the weirdest thing because they just said one day it quit heating. So I'm like, all right, well, that's weird. Maybe it's an element or those, you know, the relay inside just went bad or whatever. It's like, no, it's a controller originally designed to be in refrigeration systems. So even though it's a heating application, in order for it to kick on, you should still see a little blue snowflake. I didn't see the little blue snowflake unless I set the temperature below the temperature it was at, which was room temperature. Then it would kick on. Long story short, it somehow got switched from heating mode to cooling mode. And so I had to download a manual, which is like in French and or Italian and translate it. And then I eventually figured out how to kick it back into heat mode through a couple different subcategories and sub menus and whatnot. But the thing is like it took so much effort to get into the menu to change it over to heat mode. I can't imagine somebody accidentally doing it.
Yeah.
And they said it's, you know, nobody's been there to service it. They had a power surge. Epon
failure where it's losing its memory. I see that stuff when things start losing their memory.
Yeah. That's what they said. They had a power surge from a storm that 100%,
bro. Like,
that's what it must have been. But
yeah,
I've never seen that before.
And I've run into situations similar to what you're saying where nobody's touched it. And you're like, there's no way someone went through this many things to change that. No, that controller's going bad, dude. Like 100%.
I didn't quote it. Just let it ride. See how that goes.
I'm not sure, Ashton, if it's a rack or not.
The ERC. Hey, I'm not logged in through the channel, but me, Kyle, Avocado Gaming had a question there about an ERC 103C on Delfields.
ERC 103.
Not that I remember, anyway.
Google it or something.
What is your question?
Yeah.
I don't see it, but what is the question?
If I said yes, how would that make you feel, me, Kyle, Avocado Gaming?
I got some pushback this week and I'm curious what you guys do. So do you guys put a recovery dryer on the inlet of your recovery machine every time you use it?
No. That'd be like just wearing a condom all day just in case.
Sorry, say that again.
On your recovery machine, when you use your recovery machine, do you use a dryer with it every time to clean?
Yes, it's there, but it hasn't been changed in a long time.
Yeah, I don't use a dryer. Like, here's my thing. Like, someone was like, man, you should really be using a recovery dryer every time. Now, if I suspect that the system's jacked up, yes, I will.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But I would say, like, I also, most of the time, I don't reuse the refrigerant because whatever it is I'm working on doesn't,
I don't feel comfortable all the time. So, but I basically, so it just depends. Like, I, I can usually tell if a recovery cylinder is dirty, right? First off, right. I always vacuum them. Even if they're vacuumed, I vacuum them because they don't, they're only vacuumed to like, they're not even in micron levels half the time. They just have a negative pressure on them. So I pull a vacuum on them, but you can usually tell if they're dirty inside because if it's a really, really old tank, the odds are it's dirty. Now let's preface this with the kind of recovery tanks that I have. I do swaps. So I buy the tanks and then I exchange them at the supply house, like a propane tank.
Right.
So, you know, basically I take in a full drum, give it to them. They give me an empty one, call it a day. So that's what I do. So it's not my own recovery machines.
I hang this little thing on this cup so people think I'm drinking tea, but it's just straight vodka.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The Danfoss controls are on almost all Delfields. So did he ask the follow-up to that question yet?
That's what I'm assuming.
Me, Kyle, Avocado Gaming. I don't know if I've seen it come through yet.
I think, Chris, you mentioned it in one of your lives or videos as well. What's the percentage of POE when you're doing a conversion of like the oils, like R22 to 407C? What's the percentage you're allowed to have?
So basically, and there's so much misinformation. People don't understand this one, okay? So when you're converting to, first off, you want to ask the compressor manufacturer. But
Right, for sure.
Some people that there's some people on YouTube that I watch their videos.
Cheers, Ray Ray.
And they think that when you're doing a POE conversion, that you just put 20% of the oil charge, just add POE on top of the mineral. Okay, no, that's not how that works.
No.
When they say that they want
gurgles,
basically a good rule of thumb, and again, you want to ask each manufacturer, but a good rule of thumb is. You need 80% of the existing oil out of that compressor.
I would think so, Ron. That's what I was
at least 80%. But you know, want to reach out to each manufacturer.
I've also heard or read from somewhere, depends on the system and the length of that line set, if you even really need to do an oil change.
And you do, though. You do. It doesn't know. And Brett says 95.5, so there you go. So that's even higher than 80% because you don't know what's going to happen within that system. And I do have instances like I have this one problematic system at one of my restaurants where the lines are sized right, but for some reason we go through solenoid valves, liquid line solenoid valves like crazy. Okay.
It's grabbing everything.
The valve itself.
Yes. The valve itself. The only thing that's happened with this system, again, it's an original line set, but we changed the condensing unit and the evaporators. I don't know, a couple years ago, right? So it has POE oil in it now in an old mineral oil system, and there's got to be pockets. I bet you there's traps and some weird craps happening where the oil's mixing because not enough got out, and it's doing weird stuff. Now, that system, we've always dealt with it because they keep telling us, because we've told them we need to put a new line set in this. And the building, though, we'd have to run it exposed and then cover it, like in the restaurant, because it's just an old, old building. So they push back on that.
Yeah. So, you gotta, like you said, Chris, you gotta make sure that the compressor could actually even handle that. If it's able to even do this conversion, is first of all.
And so Brett's saying that if you want to get it right, you have to use a refractometer. Good point to actually check the concentration of the oil.
Yeah, sure.
So, I didn't know you could use a refractometer to check the concentration of the oil.
Yeah.
See, this is why, like, I don't advocate for. If I can just go back with the original refrigerant and charge them an extra $27 to do so and avoid any sort of changeover issues that may or may not come to be.
Like, what's up, Gil? How's it going, bud?
Yeah, you want to keep your R22 system? All right. Well, I'm gonna quote it for R22.
Yeah. These are the ramifications, you know?
Yeah.
So Bill and I were kind of talking about today. He shot me a question in our private on our group chat, and he was asking me about KE2 controllers from Key to Therm. And we were kind of talking about those, and if you guys don't know, Key to Therm is a pretty cool company. There's a couple different manufacturers. This isn't breaking news, but Sporlin's actually coming out with their kind of competitor for Key to Therm walk-in controllers. Sporlin's coming out with something
cool.
They had it at AHR, so they're still working on it and things, but there's a couple different manufacturers that make similar controls to KE2. And essentially what KE2 does is originally they attacked the aftermarket segment of the industry. And they basically said, you can get rid of all your defrost controls. You can get rid of everything. And our one controller does it. So they're pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. It's pretty. That's good. That's
doing that. Should I read between the lines and just assume that Christopher Hughes and Steve Rogers take this alpha brain drug? And if that's the case,
I heard about something.
Give me like seven. I want,
dude. To it sounds like alpha brain is one of those ones that you go when you go to the gas station. You want to get the dick enhancer stuff. Like yep. It probably sold right next to alpha brain.
Thunder Rhino 9000.
Thunder Rhino 9000.
Oh man, I need some alpha brain for sure.
Brett's saying he does. So I think he's referring to the Rhino or the.
I'm trying to get Athletic Greens to become a sponsor for my videos. So
I think he's asking if anybody takes it because he's looking for a new outlet to sell his product. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
He needs a new place to push his substances.
Arctic Fox controllers, Adrian, reliable HVACR. Yeah, that's just a rebrand. So. KE2 actually started. So they started on the aftermarket side, but now they're attacking the OEM. So they've got some manufacturers using their controls in like a so not Ream or not not Russell. Is it Russell? I think their controllers are in the Trenton equipment in the WIT equipment. The
KE2?
Yeah, it's KE2 stuff, but it doesn't say KE2. It's their circuit boards and their packaging or whatever, and they just rebrand it.
Yeah,
they rebrand it. But I was just telling Bill about this, and I'm gonna pull something up right now because I did something funny. So I actually had access to like one of these big giant KE2 controllers. It's a smart evap controller, so it's their big one for walking coolers.
Sort of throw some
EXEs and stuff. Now, what'd you say?
Some context, like how we even got started on this. Yeah. I just have a walk-in freezer that's seemingly having some sort of defrost issues or air infiltration issues, and the system isn't that old. It's a 2013-14 system, really good condition, and this issue just started coming up about maybe a year and a half ago, last summer roughly. And so I was looking for like a way I can sort of solve everything at once. It's I don't want to sound like I'm just throwing parts at it, but I believe I have multiple issues going on. I think air infiltration coming through the penetrations through the box, the wall panels possibly. I know I have defrost issues, fan delay issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, am I going to go through and test all of this? And also a thermostat issues. I am pretty sure it's got a mechanical thermostat that I think is drifting really hard. So I'm like, you know, I have all these problems. What's like a one-stop shop where I can just fix it all? At more accurate temperatures, I can control I can replace the fan delays, you know, defrost controls. And that's how we got started on this conversation, the KE2. What is it? The KE2 low temp plus defrost.
Yeah. So, and interestingly enough, I did some research really quick, Bill, on that low temp plus defrost. And you may actually want to get the adaptive controller, because if you get the adaptive controller, if my understanding is, it can do everything the low temp plus defrost can. It's the same footprint, but it just has a few extra features. It comes with an extra sensor, because that's what something we were talking about is, if you install the KE2s, I encourage everybody to do dual evaporator sensors. And I know that KE2 says they want the evap sensors at a certain place, but I need to move them to the top for my systems. I move them to the top two corners, and those are the most extreme areas where I tend to have the most ice buildup.
I think that's a good idea.
Good point, Chris.
Let me pull this up. So I was telling Bill about this. That's not what I'm supposed to do.
I was wondering who Bob was. Okay.
Yeah, give it a second here. Yeah, the Bob's me. Let's see if this focuses. Come on, focus. Why isn't it focusing?
It might be. I am also a fan of the intelligence systems.
Why isn't this focusing? That's irritating me. Well, anyways, you guys can see that this is actually my garage refrigerator. I have a full on evap efficiency controller on it, but I don't have an EXV for it yet.
That's cool.
But you can see basically everything that's going on here with this controller.
And this is all Bluetooth, correct?
It's Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Yeah, that's right. But that's cool. You were telling me now that they do have Bluetooth capable controllers, right?
Yes, some manufacturers do. So one thing though that I really like about these is the graphs. So if you go to the graphs, you can tell a lot in this system about what's going on. And you can see, like, honestly, it looks like I'm doing too many defrosts, but I do have it on adaptive. So it might actually just have been because we were loading it or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but it can choose to do defrost whenever it needs to. And it's actually pretty cool, the information. Now, this is way overkill. Like, you can launch a space shuttle with these things. But
graphs are awesome when it shows curves of the cycles or anything. Like,
and if you look right here, like I set it up with an aux probe so you can see my garage temperature. Okay. So that's the temperature of my garage. So in the summertime, it's kind of scary how high that gets. And it's a little self-contained propane guy. So because suction, this is pressure, like a petri dish watching this thing right
suction
now.
Suction temperature, saturation temperature. So the saturation temperature, well, let's see. No, you have a pressure transducer hooked up, suction line sensor, saturation. Why is the saturation temperature not moving at all? I feel like it should be moving with the... Well, I thought I saw the pressure changing.
Sorry, let me get that back to the guys. But it's pretty cool, you know, being able to do that kind of stuff. And
that is cool.
I need to actually get a new controller because that one's really old and the software on it's antiquated. So, and know, I like the new ones because they look different.
I know you got a video, Chris, where you installed one of these.
The ones that you're thinking about, yeah.
Yeah, the low temperature air. Low temperature defrost.
Yeah.
You did it on a job like in the middle of the night or something, emergency sort of deal.
Yeah, I actually rewatched that video after I told you that, and it wasn't actually in the middle of the night. I started it at 2:30 in the afternoon, but I don't think I ended it until like 8 or something like that. Oh, so see,
that kind of scares me. But I mean, essentially what I'm gonna be doing, I'm gonna be gutting the defrost clock and just wiring everything to be controlled by the KE2. It doesn't seem like, I mean, there's 3 relays on there. It seems relatively straightforward, time consuming, especially because I do want to mount it outside the box, like you were saying.
So what I'm going to say about the KE2 stuff, and here's the one thing that sucks, is they don't make their controllers deep enough. So you have to use flag connectors. If you don't use flag connectors, it's really hard to shove all the wires when you do the female, what do they call them? Slip-on connectors or whatever. You need to use the flag ones because there's not enough depth in that controller for that many wires. So it's kind of a struggle. And I don't have a flag. I still haven't bought a flag crimper for.
Yeah, I know. I don't have one either. I try to make do with my regular.
I've asked it so many times in my video and people have sent me links and everything. I just haven't ordered it. I don't know why.
You know, quick side note. I didn't know there was a tool called an MC cable cutter until I watched one of your videos the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know that was the thing.
Think about it, dude. How hard is it to freaking cut 3/8 MC with 4 wire in it? Because I was using was actually a 4 wire. So,
but you just cut the shielding, the actual MC cable. Like, you didn't even cut the wires or nothing. Like, I didn't know that was the thing.
I wish they made one of those for seal tight, like liquid tight conduit, you know, metallic liquid tight. But I use a bandsaw for metallic liquid tight, but it would be awesome to be able to freaking use like
one of those battery operated tubing cutters.
No, because it needs reciprocating because it's cutting through metal. Because the seal tight that I use isn't plastic, it's got metal in it. So
when you say MC, clean cut. When you say MC wire, like BX,
yeah, BX.
So help with like linesmen's, and you just do with linesmen.
Hold on, what's that?
Why not just cut it with linesmen's?
Well, it's got wire in it,
okay.
Are we talking about the same thing? Hold on.
Yeah, the metal with the
BX. Wires already in it, right?
Well, we have typically 3 wires inside. Not 4.
But if you want to cut just the outside without cutting the wires, though,
you crack it.
Because what I'm dealing with is on the MC, it's 3/8 diameter. So and it's full wire. So when you try to crack it, you're not going to have.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, no. Then if you do crack it, you still got a decently sharp edge to it, and it's not real smooth and clean cut.
You're good, buddy. Trust me.
You're good. I've done it for my entire career, but when I saw this tool where you just like, boop,
that pops is pretty in, cool. Yeah, pulls
the
pin off.
It's nice and smooth. Shoves they have that little sheath in there.
Yeah,
yeah. So
I've never
so
seen it before. Like, how have I gone this long without seeing that tool?
We find that kind of stuff all the time, dude. Like, you know, we all go back with finding things that just blow our mind, you know, like, I don't know about this my whole time, you know, and
like, there's so many, I was thinking about this this morning, actually. I was listening to a local radio station there. One of the segments where they were talking about like all the dumb things that you're just finding out like in your late 30s and 40s, you know, and people are like, oh, I didn't know you add a can of water to condensed soup. I thought it was always supposed to be so thick and salty and stuff like that. And like, this is one of those things for me. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
John Harrell's asking if it's on True Tech Tools.
No. Let me. It's made by Klein.
Electrical Supply Shop will have them. And I didn't know they were called Troy. I didn't know they were called skirts either. I always call them anti-shorts.
Wait, what are they called?
What did he say?
He's saying there's another word for them called skirts.
Oh, I call them anti-short bushings. Or yeah,
anti-shorts. Yeah.
You know, a blob of toothpaste is actually called a nurdle. Did you know that?
No,
I did not.
I did. I found that out today. Don't ask me how.
I wonder if Brett's still.
So here, let me screen share right now, and yeah, I'll show people.
It's right there.
Ask for some.
This is what I'm talking about. This is the MC cutter, and basically you put the MC cable in here, and there's a tiny wheel that just slices just ever so slightly to MC, and then you just pull the jacket right off. So
MC turd cutter.
The stuff that Chris.
But yeah, that was pretty slick though in that video, man. When you just pop that on there.
Yeah.
One quick little movement. Boom.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Jason Johnson says ferrules. Yeah, ferrules do make sense for the name for those little bushings.
What little bushings are you guys talking about?
The little red bushings you put in on the MX.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically you don't want the wires rubbing up against the conduit. So,
Brett, do you know what that is? Your other half will know.
It's a chili pepper?
Yes. How do you know?
It's a chili pepper.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a chili pepper. Like,
why do you think? Like, if you don't know what that is, well, tell
why
us
would Brett know?
I don't know what that is, but I live in Mexico, California. Like, we eat chilies all the time. So.
It looked like one, to be honest.
I live with a Mexican. I don't know what the hell that is.
No, it's nothing to do with Mexican.
Do you guys eat like legit Mexican food, Bill?
I mean,
you guys like cook jalapenos all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, but what people have this romantic idea of what authentic Mexican food is. Some of it is amazing. A majority of it, it's just like, meh. I mean, it's okay. It's like, you know, like it's like meatloaf here, where you go to Mexico, people are like, oh wow, you eat a giant loaf of meat covered in ketchup.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't know.
I was literally in Mexico. Different. For my honeymoon. No, I was there. I don't remember when I was there, but it was for some reason I was in Mexico and we went there and we were on a cruise and we went to one of the piers and I was like, man, I'm going to get me some good nachos, you know? And it was like a restaurant at the end of the pier. So it's like, let's do this, dude. I was stoked, you know, a couple beers, some nachos. And they bring me, I'm in Mexico, right? They bring me nachos from, no kidding, Costco. That I can see across the freaking their chips, right?
Mm-hmm. And they just watched had nacho, the guy walk over there.
Had nacho cheese poured on them, dude. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then that's when I kind of, it was a long time ago, but I realized like, oh yeah, nachos aren't from Mexico. Those are just something that a bunch of people made here, you know?
And like, there's like, I've been to Mexico to like, where I go to in Mexico is like, it's not a touristy spot. It's like the backwoods sort of. And we've stopped at some like a little, I don't know, hole in the wall places, some side of the road, little restaurants that are like homemade restaurants. And like, they have some pretty good authentic food, but their authentic food really isn't nothing. Like I said, it's nothing romantic. It's like your street tacos. It's your meats, you know, the different ways of cooking the barbacoa and things. And it's good, but you know, it's nothing.
My house, like, man, dude, chilies. I love chilies, jalapenos, especially. We're roasting jalapenos all the time. Every time I go to a restaurant, I'm always ordering extra jalapenos. Like, that's just my thing, dude. But we've always had lots of Mexican food growing up. It's like my favorite thing to eat.
You know what I haven't done in a while? Well, just this week we did it, but it had been a while since we made homemade pizza.
Dude, that's fun. Where'd you get your pizza dough, dude?
Well, Walmart, just some cheap shit.
So if you guys have a Trader Joe's, go to Trader Joe's. They make one of the best pizza doughs. And it's there, just a Trader Joe's brand. It's cold. And it's already made. It's freaking awesome. And then, then you do everything else and build them. And
I've only been to Trader Joe's one time.
Really? Do you have any near you?
We have one in Ann Arbor that I just found out is being sold. And you're going to knock down the entire complex and build something stupid.
So if you ever get to go in, it will be what you think it's like to be a Californian. Well, so, you know, the employees are all dressed and act like what you think it's like to be a Californian.
And we went there one time because my wife had gotten like gift cards to go there. And before then, I was like, I'm never going to go there and shop with these pretentious rich folk. And it actually, I mean, it was not bad. It's a lot cheaper than I thought it was going to be. You know, like we went through shopping, you know, we got a bunch of stuff and I'm like, oh, you know, prices are comparable to certain other stores that we frequent.
Yeah. The thing about Trader Joe's though, is like their big thing is they have like prepackaged meals and, you know, they don't sell the same stuff all the time. There's some staples that they have, but there's a lot of rotating stuff, you know, and it all goes together. So if you are going to buy a chicken, they're like, buy this and buy this as a kit, you know, and do that. But most of their meals are made for two people. That's it. So if you buy like a pre-made meal or some burritos or something like that, they have pre-made for whatever. It's always for two people. It's never for a family. So their portions in the store are also kind of, they don't sell. I don't even know if they sell a full gallon of milk. I think everything they sell is.
No, because they know that the people who are going to shop there are the type of people that will only be able to make one friend in life.
Yep. True.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Cyborg, same thing. My aunt does it, so
I don't understand what's this chili pepper business about.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, is it because Brett, you eat them, or is that like a gay thing?
Brett said his wife is Italian.
Yeah, no, this is a thing that a lot of Italians wear.
Yeah, but why?
It's just superstitious stuff. It fights off the evil eye and gives you good luck. And
oh man, my wife does stuff like this too.
Do you also tape freaking jalapenos to your feet when you go to sleep or something? Like, isn't
people
tape fruit and shit to their feet? Or
no, nothing like that. Hollow out a
jalapeno and
when someone puts in like a porous white fruit and they lay it next to their it's a potato, I think. If you put a potato next to your bed and then you wake up in the morning, or if you put them in your socks, they'll be black.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, if you set potatoes on the counter and you're nowhere in the fucking house, they're gonna turn black. Like, it's just shit in the air, dude.
It's Chris.
It's not absorbing spirits.
In the Mexican culture, what my wife will do is she'll take an egg and she'll crack it and like put it in a cup. And it's basically the same concept where it's just like absorbing spirits and bad energy and whatnot. There's lots of things like that.
That does make sense. Trader Joe's called Mexican food Trader Jose.
Trader Jose.
That's funny.
Anyways, boys.
Oh, man.
Should we keep on going or wrap it up?
I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit hungry, man.
Before we go, though, what were you asking about that mass flow thingy-majiggy, Bill?
Oh, the mass flow rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Brett might be able to put his two cents in on this. So I've been reading this book, right? Pressure Enthalpy Without Tears.
Oh, cool.
Awesome book, by the way. Like, awesome book. Just because it's written for a guy like me to understand it without having to reread it umpteen millions of times. But they had I'm mid page 60 or 70, right? And they're talking about mass flow rates. And I don't remember the exact question that I put up in the chat for you guys, Joe. I think I was just wondering if you guys had ever used the calculation to figure out mass flow rate for anything.
The only time when I've used it or seen it is when you plot things on a pressure enthalpy chart.
Yeah. And see, my basic curiosity is, outside of like sitting down as an engineer or some sort and designing a system, like, is there any other time where you're like, we need to figure out the mass flow rate of this? Like, there's lots of other stuff that you need to figure out before you can calculate the mass flow rate, like your HOC, HOW, NRE, all that stuff. That stuff seems like it's important to know. But the mass flow rate, I'm like, I guess, like, if you're maybe double checking design capacity,
compressor, the system. Yes. Exactly.
I was just wondering if you guys had ever actually used that in a real life situation.
No, nah, I've never felt the need to have to do those calculations. Yeah. I mean, probably should be doing them, but I don't. So
even plotting.
See you, Dave.
A few times. Yeah. See you.
What is, I don't get this. Ike says he likes this version of me. Am I being different?
Is he being different, Ike? You sure? Hey,
Ike. Maybe I'm not cussing as much. I don't know.
Maybe it's because you're, not as pretentious as normal.
What I'm not pretending. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
You are.
I don't even know what that word means.
Dude. I don't really know either, but I think it's more like being stuck up, like people from California.
And then Ike's saying, did I decide on my storage solution? So Ike helps me out with a bunch of computer stuff. And no, this is the things that people, again, you know, I'm not complaining. It's just kind of funny, but you become a content creator and you don't realize.
Right. Yes, Nicole, if you have that memorized and you just typed it in from memory, I hate your face.
Oh, you don't realize as a content creator, like the things you have to worry about and like storage.
Piece that, because I can't remember that formula.
Your thing, the mass flow rate,
outdoor data, plate assumed capacity / differential.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, when I was plotting on the enthalpy chart, all we used it for is we divided the tonnage per minute 200 divided by the NRE, natural refrigeration effect of the evaporator. That's all we used it for. That's all I remember.
Bad news, Monk says it's because Adam's not here and I'm acting different.
Ooh, man.
Oh, bad news.
That's so gay. You must have a gay crush on Adam.
I don't say that.
Pickle, don't you?
Hey, Sequest.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to put pickles on the grocery list.
Pickles.
Yeah. I need to get me some pickles for my sandwiches.
I got this pickle right here.
I forgot you had that.
That's a good way to end it with a pickle. Oh, Chipmunk. Oh, my God.
Do you remember the time someone, I think Bill came into a chat or something like that and said something about I was in the bathroom with the pickle or something like that and couldn't get it out. So then I think I made a video clip from the bathroom or something like that with the lights out, I think, if I remember right, or something like that, and did something where I was like, guys, I can't get it out. And then I played the sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's hilarious.
See, and your wife doesn't think we're hilarious.
She thinks we're dumb. And I'm like, you really don't think that's funny?
You need a different wife.
My wife has this look. We'll be sitting on the couch, right? Usually at the end of the night, every night, and we're watching TV. And I'll look at my phone and I'll chuckle, I guess. I don't even realize I'm doing it. Like, I'll just kind of laugh without making a noise. And she'll be like, what did they say now? Like, she's like looking at me waiting because she knows I'm talking to you guys.
That's awesome. I'm just reading something else.
Let's see. And the returner in this.
I'm just reading.
Jonathan Hughes gave me a good idea for our Razzie Awards next year. We can have the Golden Pickle Award added to it.
Oh.
Who gets the Golden Pickle?
Hey, you know what? I can talk to Ben. And we can get a spot in the tactical awards where he lets us come up there and give an award. It's the overtime award. Oh,
that is a genius idea.
And we give him a freaking yodeling pickle. That is the overtime award.
Then we don't have to try to put on a big show all by ourselves.
100%, dude.
Like, I'll talk to Ben. How tight are you with Ben Poole? This is a legit idea. You want to get me to the tactical awards? Let's do this.
I tell him we have to win at least two awards.
Move over, HVAC jerks. We're taking over this space.
Dude, you guys 100%. I could get us into the tactical awards.
He'll 100%, like a presenter I'm serious spot. About going
100%, dude. He will let overtime 100%. Have like because think about I'll it we there. Would be cross promoting all the way across. So
100%.
You guys want to do it, I'll get us a tactical award and we'll get to give I'll talk I to Ben and like we get to give out a reward
myself. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That is everybody great, out honestly, there. That's a great idea. Yeah. Like because the logistics of us trying to put an event together, I mean, we can barely get this show off the ground and run every night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I will talk to Ben. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you're right.
He hasn't even accepted my friend request on Facebook either.
I'll get him to accept your friend request too.
He's just bitter that we're not there.
Me and Ben are
Chris.
Because I approached him at, where was it? The symposium.
Yeah,
about some tactical gear, and he's like, oh yeah, I'll get you some. And I was like, yeah, I'll try it out. Everybody talks about it. I'm like, I'm very particular with the shirts that I wear. You know, I know you see a champion, but I'm very particular on the fit of a shirt. And I was telling him all about my t-shirt obsession. He's like, yeah, we'll get you some gear. He never got me no gear.
Does Adam get a say in this?
Yeah, Osvaldo wants to know if Adam gets a say in this. We know Adam so well that Adam's going to be like, yep, do it.
Or come up with another idea, actually. So maybe that's why he's saying that. He will come up with an idea, too.
No, we could totally do it.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
And it'll be exposure on all different angles. That's totally perfect. And then basically, you know, we just pick one award or whatever. So, yeah. I think we should do it.
Yeah, I think we should just do all the awards, actually, and he could just,
you know. I like the idea of just having like one award. It's the, I don't know, we'd have to come up with some sort of category.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what we should do? Most annoying viewer award.
Ooh.
Yeah, but then we have to have that annoying viewer there, and they're super annoying. So like, we don't want them there to begin with.
Good point. So
like, you can only accept it remotely. That would be the key.
They have to make a video.
There. Yeah, you can't be there. And like,
exactly.
And it's nobody that's in our chats. It's,
well, I mean, else. Is Cyborg still here?
Hey, leave my Canadian buddy.
Wait, what did you say?
Please be. I'll take that word, Ray Ray says.
I didn't hear you. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Nobody's annoying here, okay?
Ray Ray says he'll take that award. You're not annoying, Ray Ray.
You gotta earn it, Ray Ray.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I say it's time we wrap it up. I've got no outro music, so yeah, it is what it is. I'm not as good like Adam, because with Adam not here, you know.
Yeah.
We just don't know what the hell we're doing. So I'm just gonna end it. I'll
be back from the Man Boy Love Association next week.
See you, Chevy.
GM same bat time, we'll, same bat place. In the meantime, guys, don't forget, go check out, let's do some quick, what do we got to do to pay the bills?
Yes.
Go check out the Facebook group. Join it if you're not already joined. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel, that is. What else? Thumbs up. Go check out our website, HVACOvertime.com. Buy some shit if you want. We don't make any money off it, but you're going to look cool. I mean, you know you're going to look cool in it.
Well, maybe we can get enough money that Joe can actually buy a real webcam and stop doing this crap with his dumb Apple phone.
I don't know what's going on with this thing.
I know exactly what's going on with it. It's an Apple.
No, no, no. Don't say that. Bro. Apples are the best.
100%. It's pretty
much a potato.
Bologna, the same shape. Before you know it, although I do think that Apple has something interesting going, where they're basically saying that the phone as we know it is not going to exist anymore. And I'm willing to bet it has something to do with the glasses that they're coming out with. So
really?
I do look forward to that. I mean,
can you imagine like this sort of quality of Joe's camera, but right in your eyeballs? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Hey, Adam is in a group. What's he doing here? He should be on here.
Who?
Adam.
Where's he at?
He messaged in the Facebook group, Adam.
Oh. Gotcha. No. All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to end it, and we'll catch you all in the next one.
Later, boys. Peace.